It's literally across the street from my work, so I can walk to my office, which would be nice. Because right now, when there's no traffic, it's 45 minutes each way. When there is traffic, it's an hour and a half each way. And I can't deal with that kind of commute anymore.
Yeah, I did that shit for years, and it finally broke me. I can't do it anymore, yeah. Sucks.
Yeah. It really does. Because even when you're done with work, it's like, oh, shit, I still have another 90 minutes to kill before I can just get in my panties and eat my Cheez-Its and shit.
And then that's what I do is I put panties on and eat cheese. You have figured me out, sir.
It's the webcam. It's always on.
Damn it.
Whether you know it or not, it's always on.
Are you guys ready to record this whole thing all over again? I didn't care for it. I didn't buy it.
That seems pretty ridiculous.
I don't even want to think about the possibility of you having your dick out.
Yikes.
Is this the most important thing in the universe? What happened to it? I don't know.
I needed to suck in absolutely every moment of awesomeness.
Yeah.
Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, geeks of all ages, welcome to another fun and festive episode of the Geek Legacy Podcast. I'm Justin Cavender, and with me as always is Mr. Randy Van Dyke. How are you doing today?
I'm lovely. Thank you for asking.
You are lovely. Just a bucket of love, and I enjoy every second and every fiber of your being.
Wow.
I know, right? Such praise. That's because Dave's not here. I can make sweet love to you with words all day long when Dave's not around. But to fill in the blank and the proverbial gap is Mr. Jeff Muller of TheJerd.com. How you doing today?
I'm doing good, man. I'm glad every time Dave leaves because I get to hang out with you guys.
Yes, the good ones.
The good ones.
I mean, it's just fun watching you make love to Randy. So, I mean, yeah. I'm glad I'm here.
Somebody's enjoying that.
Honestly, if there's a video of it, people would watch it, regardless of how hideous our bodies may be on film.
Jesus Christ.
Oh, yeah. Anywho, welcome, Jeff. We always get dirty when you're on the show. I don't know what it is, but we are semi-normal when it's just me, Dave, and Randy. And as soon as you put your headphones on, something just happens, and a metamorphosis takes place, and we turn into just dirty little birdies.
I evidently bring that out in you guys.
You do.
Hey. To be fair, it doesn't take much to bring it out in Justin.
It doesn't. Sometimes I can just like stand up weird, and it just rubs my body the right way, and then I'm just protruding.
He was that awkward kid in class who could never go up to the chalkboard or the dry erase board.
Always had to tell the teacher to wait a minute. Hold on. Give me a second.
That sounds fairly accurate. Anywho, so today I got some interesting news from the fine folks over at Disney. And normally everyone on this podcast is knee-deep in the business of Disney. We're all big fans of the company and their amusement parks, and we spent lots of our childhood there. And the Pirates of the Caribbean ride is getting a pretty interesting change. They're shaking things up a bit. And that being the Wench for a Bride scene that they have in the ride is going away. There used to be a sign that says auction, take a wench for a bride, and they're kind of revamping it where villagers will still be lined up to surrender their valuables, and the sign is going to be replaced saying auction, surrender your loot. And the redheaded woman that was supposed to be, you know, the hot ticket for the night, she is actually going to be a pirate now, and she's going to be sort of an overseer of things and have a rifle and a feather in her cap. And yar. So that's a pretty big deal. This ride has already seen changes throughout its lifetime. Remember, there was the nice pirate men that were chasing the ladies, and then they added food in their hands, so it was like they were going after their food. And then after the movie was such a commercial success, they added Jack Sparrow into the ride. And then now this is another change for us park-going folk. Randy,
yep.
You used to work at Disneyland. You have a billion stories to share, and I want to hear your thoughts on this new change.
I have a billion stories to share about Pirates of the Caribbean, However, the majority of them are not safe to share. So instead, I will go with a couple safe stories. No, it's funny that you mentioned the previous change, where it used to be that they had kind of like this Lazy Susan thing where they had animatronics looking like they're chasing each other around, and it was always the men lustily chasing after the women. It was that way for decades until the mid to late 90s. I worked there from 95 till 2001, and I was there when they made that change, and I saw firsthand the uproar that it caused within the guests, particularly like the annual pass holders and the people that had been there, that had been going there for a long time. They're the regulars. They were the ones that were most set in their ways. And the area of the park that I happened to work was New Orleans Square. So I was really intimately involved with all things pirates at the time. So I got to see how it affected the park guests then. And that was back in a time when people were really kind of When the term politically correct was first being coined, and when people are really were really starting to first take offense to it. But now, in this day and age, that people's sensitivity is at an all-time high to things like this, which, when you really think about it, it's totally human trafficking going on inside a Disney-sanctioned ride, if you want to look at it for what it is at face value. So, I mean, it makes sense that they're getting rid of it.
That's true. But it's also, you could say that it's showing that pirates are terrible people. It's like, this is right. The life of a pirate. So you could argue that this is something Yeah, there you go. I like that. That this is something that would take place. But
true. But I mean, but they're singing about how great it is to be a pirate, and you're drinking and you're pillaging. And I mean, they do all, but they're like talking about pillaging and plundering. They're doing all but singing about rape, practically.
Right.
I mean, they're definitely glorifying the pirate lifestyle. This makes it a little bit more palatable for kids. And since, I mean, pretty much everything Disney exists for in theme park form is to try to sell you things and souvenirs and that kind of stuff. Speaking from a man who was on the inside, that is really what everything is all pointing towards, is getting you to take shit home and buy it. It makes sense from a business standpoint. And honestly, I'm kind of surprised it's taken them this long to make a change. I'm kind of bummed about it because I like the way it was originally. I like the way it was when I grew up. If I go on the ride now and compare it to the version of the ride that I went on when I was 12, it's going to be a very different experience. So it's not going to have that kind of same nostalgic flashback feel to it. And I get where people are coming from if they bring up that point of view as to why they're hesitant for it to change. But just the way things are in the world today, it makes all the sense for it to change. So I can't say anything negative about it. It's probably for the best. You know, as much as my inner child might take a little bit of a emotional beating from it.
Jeff, what are your thoughts?
Man, I don't understand what the uproar is. I don't understand all these people getting their knickers in a twist over this. I mean, I've seen some of the craziness online, and just, I mean, first off, let's address the one argument that I keep seeing about how having a female pirate is historically inaccurate. Like, that's the argument I keep seeing. A, no, and B, the rest of the entire ride is also historically inaccurate. So really, is that the hill we're going to die on, people? Like, it's just the arguments that people come up with, it just astound me. I don't know why I've been on the internet long enough. I should be jaded by now, but every time one of these ridiculous things comes up, I just end up shaking my head. I don't see the issue with it. Change the ride. It was silly anyway. Who cares?
From my childhood standpoint, I'm a little sad. Just from like a historical sense, this is a park that's been around for, over 60 years now? And this ride has been around for a long time, so it is weird. People always kind of take offense to change, and it does make me sad to some degree. I always liked hearing it's like, shift your cargo, dearie. Show them your larboard side or something like that. I forget what it is now.
Yeah.
It's been a while.
That's exactly what it is. That's okay. Exactly it.
Okay. It was closed last time I went to Disneyland in February, so I didn't get to go on it. But so now I'm sad that I'll never get to see it again. And it's been like 10... It'll be... Since 2010 was the last time I was on the ride, so I'll be sad about that.
If all else fails, you can always watch a bunch of YouTube videos of people riding through the ride in its original state.
Yeah.
Or in its current state as to right now, anyway.
It's all good. But, I mean, it is, again, that's a part of my childhood that's now ripped away from me. But I'm not upset. I'm not going to boycott the ride. I'm not going to boycott Disneyland. I'm not going to write an essay and post it on Facebook about how I am forever offended that they have changed the way pirates are. But it is what it is. What can you do?
Absolutely nothing. You can do nothing.
Go complain on the nearest internet.
Stupid internet.
I know. It's so bad. I love reading the comment section. It is my favorite thing in the world. It's become my new favorite pastime. Before I go to sleep, I read comments and just weird news articles. Speaking of enjoyment, I understand you went and saw Baby Driver over the weekend, and you enjoyed it. Why don't you tell us about it?
Oh, I did. I did. Listen, I loved the absolute crap out of this movie. I know Edgar Wright movies are kind of there's a specific taste to those movies. And this just, I don't know, it hit all the right notes for me. Pun intended. So if you've seen the trailers, it's all about music. This is one giant music video montage for almost 2 hours. It is nothing but music and car chases and every actor in the movie just loving the shit out of being a part of what looked to be a really fun production. Not to give anything away, but it is a bank heist kind of movie. Lots of car chases, a lot of cool heist scenes, a lot of interesting characters, and it all revolves around the main character, Baby, who pretty much through the entire movie has his earphones in with several notable exceptions. But music is a huge part of the movie, and why I loved it was... Here's how I'll put it. You ever watch a magician, and it's not the trick itself that amazes you, but you trying to figure out how the magician did it offers up so much enjoyment for you?
I don't really like magic.
Oh, my God. You're useless to me. But... You're useless.
I like David Copperfield when he escaped Alcatraz. That was pretty sweet.
Oh, you're the worst human being ever. But I mean, that's what it was to me. Like watching this movie was half of the enjoyment was trying to figure out how Edgar Wright did what he did. Every footstep, every single action in the movie was timed to the music through just scenes with almost no cuts. I have no idea how he managed to get everything perfectly in sync to this eclectic sound he pulled together. And it was fascinating. It was a fun movie. And as someone who's interested in filmmaking, it was a masterclass in watching someone who has spent his entire life in trying to figure out how to do interesting cuts and interesting angles really just take it to the next level. I give this movie a solid A+. It was fantastic. Everyone should see it. Everyone should see this movie.
All right.
Boom. There's my votes on
Boom.
That.
All right. That's fine. What is the one movie...
I sound like I convinced you. Not at all. You're like, that sounds okay. Yeah,
What is your one guilty pleasure movie, though? I want to give people a spectrum here. Is there a movie that you like that you know the whole rest of the world hates? I'm just curious.
Here's a guilty pleasure movie that I'm always embarrassed to tell people I like, but I don't think everyone hates it. Can't Hardly Wait.
Oh, that's a fun one.
That is a fun one. See, it's a fun one, but it's that genre of movie. I was like, teen high school party graduation movies.
Yeah.
They're terrible. But that one was kind of cool. I don't know. I liked it. I don't know, man. Why are you putting me on the spot like that?
I don't know. I was just curious.
What's your guilty pleasure movie, sir?
Just to discredit you in some way.
You dick. What?
I don't know. I like everything these days. I'm the worst.
No, Randy's the worst. We've established that many, many times.
Yeah, pretty much. Undisputed.
You love everything. Randy hates everything, so.
That's true.
Which is funny, because it kind of used to be the opposite when I first met Justin.
Interesting.
I hated everything when we first met?
Yep.
I believe it.
Yeah. David always warned me about you. That guy, he would say, that guy hates everything. He hates every movie, he says.
That's not true. I love it all. I just
bask
in the ambiance.
I can put words in David's mouth since he's not here to defend himself. But no, that those are memories that I distinctly remember having.
All right.
And I used to be positive. At some point in time, life beat it out of me.
Yeah.
Yeah.
A swish happened.
Yeah.
It's all good.
Switch or swish?
A swish.
Oh. It's like, fair enough.
Like a Ricky Ricardo saying swish.
Yeah, yeah. Pretty much.
Well, Baby Driver. It's on my list of things to see. I kind of have a busy summer right now, though. Like, I'm pretty pumped for the new Planet of the Apes movie and Spider-Man. There's just a lot going on.
I will say see it on the big screen. If you're going to see it, make the trip to the theater for it.
For Baby Driver?
Yeah. Well, I would say so. Car chases always look better on the big screen.
That's true.
Yes.
I like the car chases, like the Fast and Furious and submarines.
Oh, jeez.
We'll get to that in a minute, though. Speaking of movies and box office stuff, Wonder Woman. She's on a roll, man. Wonder Woman has officially surpassed Batman v Superman, Dawn of Justice, and Suicide Squad as far as the domestic box office goes. It's currently sitting at $330.5 million domestically. That is insane, and I'm super excited for it. Did you like Wonder Woman, Jeff?
I loved Wonder Woman. I mean, the last 10 minutes were kind of hot garbage, but the rest of the movie was so good it made up for it.
Yeah, I don't know what it is with the third act in superhero movies. It's always kind of a tough move.
Especially Zack Snyder superhero movies. It just turns into a giant CGI video game.
Right. with slow motion over and over and over again.
Yeah, it's just, yeah.
We didn't quite understand why Ares' little mustache didn't burn off. That probably would have been the right move to just ace the mustache.
The actor probably didn't want to shave. I don't know.
You know, I just realized something last night. We were watching Big Lebowski, and that guy that plays Ares, and he's also Lupin in Harry Potter, he is the weirdo that's sitting in the chair at Maude's apartment when Big Lebowski comes.
Oh, yeah.
The little bald guy that's laughing at everything.
I don't think I ever realized that.
Yeah, I was like, holy shit, that's Lupin.
Huh.
The more you know. He had a weird mustache in that, too. It's kind of his jam, I guess.
Probably his contract. He had to keep it then.
Yep. The silly stash contract. But, I mean, not that Suicide Squad was amazing, or Batman v Superman, for that matter, but it's exciting stuff that Wonder Woman has been able to surpass it. And not only that, but the numbers held strong every single week. It never saw a dramatic dip. It was sort of a gradual decline, which is impressive, because Batman v Superman and Suicide Squad both had strong openings, but then it would be like a 50% drop the next week. Wonder Woman
never had
that. Yeah,
it's like all superhero movies. That's the trend in superhero movies. They open strong, and then the drop-off is quick. Wonder Woman, and I have a feeling they're going to keep Wonder Woman in the theaters for a while just to keep milking it, which good for them.
Absolutely. Batman v Superman was in theater like 84 days to get to 330.4 million was after 84 days in theaters. Wonder Woman's been out in theaters for 28 days.
Nice.
Yeah. So keep it around. And that had a strong word of mouth. Everyone's like, oh, Wonder Woman, what's up with that? Oh, you haven't seen it yet? It's incredible. Go check it out. So people would go do that. Exciting stuff. Gal Gadot is just beautiful. I love looking at her for the entire movie. Up Shallow. It was great.
we're aware. It's okay. It's okay. I think I missed the episode where you guys reviewed this. And Randy, I got to know what you thought of Wonder Woman.
I absolutely adored it.
What?
I did. And I know, big shock, right? No, but one of the things, it already had a big step up in the right direction for me personally, because I love the time period of World War One. I find that incredibly fascinating.
Right. I should have known it was a period piece. So,
well, I mean, that is part of it. Yes. But the third act was a little flawed, but I thoroughly enjoyed the hell out of that movie. Only partially because of the fact that it was set in a period that I enjoy. But yeah.
Nice. Happy to hear you found some joy in your life, sir.
I did, and I didn't expect it to come from DC, to be quite honest. I mean, with their track record, such as it is. But then again, I'm one of the few assholes that isn't jumping all over Guardians of the Galaxy, so I guess Marvel doesn't necessarily always do it for me either. But I will say, I did enjoy Guardians 2.
Good.
Did you like Guardians 2?
I did. I thought it was really fun. Wasn't as good as the first one, but it was really solid.
Interesting. You know what else is interesting? Fucking Fox. Get some alliteration there. Fox has set release dates for 6 Marvel-based movies, and they're kind of all over the place. You have June 7th, 2019, November 22nd, 2019, March 13th, 2020, June 26th, 2020, October 2nd, 2020. That's 3 movies for Fox in 2020, and then March 5th, 2021. We have no idea what these movies are. Who knows? We know that there's going to be... they're trying to get an X-Force movie off the ground. Deadpool 3 is already happening, so that could be one of the movies as well. But who knows what's in store for these Fox motion picture shows. I am kind of curious if they're going to give another stab at Fantastic Four.
Oh, my God. Oh, Jesus.
Personally, I could take it or leave it, but at this point, it makes for an interesting Mystery Science Theater experience. So more power to them. But that's a lot of movies, 6. And Fox, like even with the X-Men movies, I'm weird because I like X-Men comic books and I like the X-Men cartoon from the 90s, but the movies have always been kind of weird for me. X2 is probably my favorite still, but Logan was incredible. Almost a religious experience. I enjoyed the shit out of that movie. And I am curious to see, based on the success of Logan and Deadpool, two very different types of movies, but both extremely violent, I am curious to see if they're going to kind of continue that trend for either one of those formulas going forward.
Yeah, I kind of hope they don't continue that formula. I think that's going to grow pretty old pretty quickly. You know, it's fun when it's new and exciting and something that's different, but I think the fatigue will set in pretty hard if all those Fox movies turn into just gore fests.
Mm-hmm. It'll lose its novelty.
Yeah, without a doubt. At least for me, it will.
Mm-hmm. Randy, you have seen both Deadpool and Logan, correct?
I have.
Do you prefer the raunchy over the serious or vice versa?
Okay, well, I for repeatability in terms of viewing, I'll take the raunchy over the serious, because when something real heavy is laid on me like Logan, that's the kind of movie easy. That's the kind of movie where I really only need to watch once in a great while. If multiple viewings at all, once, and I'm probably pretty good. Whereas Deadpool, because it's fun, it's silly, I could just have that on the background. I can work with it on. I can just watch it a couple times, you know, a year and not be upset with myself as, wow, I just wasted a bunch of time. Not that watching Logan a bunch of times would be considered a waste. It's just for me, real heavy subject matter like that, personally, I don't like to watch that over and over.
That's fair. I was that way with The Dark Knight. I just thought, yeah. I thought it was just a little bit too heavy for enjoyment. Like, it was an incredible movie, but it's not one that I've watched 1,000 times. It's just a little bit too much for me to smile, as it were. In the subject of X-Men movies, for those of you that are interested, Evan Peters will reprise his role as Quicksilver in the upcoming X-Men Dark Phoenix movie. And of course, that is coming out November 2nd, 2018.
Pretty cool.
Yeah, I agree. He's one of my favorite characters in this mm-hmm. new sort of sequence of movies. And when Dark Phoenix was even announced, it was kind of weird because Sophie Turner's like, yeah, I'm doing fucking X-Men Dark Phoenix, haven't you heard? Asshole. And everyone's like, what are you talking about? We didn't even know this was a movie. So she might have jumped the gun on that one a bit. But so be it. I'll take it.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah, not a movie that I asked for, but I'll watch Evan Peters play Quicksilver in the obligatory slow-mo running scene any day of the week. You know?
Right. Man, that blew me away in Days of Future Past. I was like, what the fuck? This is the coolest part of the movie.
Oh, hands down.
Yeah. That was one of those less is more type of moments.
Yeah, yeah.
Anywho, speaking of less is more, Michelle Rodriguez. Fine young woman. This nice young lady. Oh, she's a hot tamale. She gets she's an angry woman, and her behavior has actually gotten her into some trouble in the past. But when Fast and Furious 8, what is it called? Fate of the Furious? When it was released digitally, she took to Instagram and she said, F8 is out digitally today. I hope they decide to show some love to the women of the franchise on the next one. Or I just might have to say goodbye to a loved franchise. It's been a good ride, and I'm so grateful for the opportunity and the fans and studio have provided over the years. One love. So, she either wants more women with bigger parts, or her to have a bigger part. Of course, Jordana Brewster, she was kind of cut from the film since Paul Walker passed away. So her character is just out completely. And then for those of you that have not seen it, spoiler alerts, the woman does get killed. And then, I don't know, there's a couple of cameos that are worthy of mentioning. But she wants more women's in the motion picture show. What are your thoughts?
I mean, that's never a bad thing.
Nope.
Though, I mean, unless, I don't know. I was going to say, unless it feels like she's blackmailing them, like, I'm threatening to leave unless you do this. I mean, nobody wants to feel forced to do anything, but it should be the right thing to do anyway. Because when you think about that franchise, it is really, you know, I hate to use the term, but I'm going to use it anyway, cock-driven, so.
Sure. Bunch of beautiful dudes on screen.
Yeah, yeah.
And Gal Gadot was on it, and then her character got killed. And then... Yeah. Brewster's character was written off. But I mean, Michelle Rodriguez's character, she's in it quite a bit. But
how many times has she died in that franchise, supposedly?
Well, technically once.
Just once? Okay.
Yeah. And then she had her memory lost and then found.
Jesus Christ. Yeah.
You had to go really fast, and then it triggered the memory again.
Oh, my God.
Is that really a thing?
No.
Oh.
But it sounded cool.
I was surprised. Yeah,
you believed it, right?
Said yes. Yeah.
Yeah. Now, you mentioned that, how unless it comes off like blackmail, you know, it's crazy because sometimes it feels like that's what you have to do to get this ball rolling. It's always kind of scary, whether that be in movies or in your career. Sometimes you just got to throw an ultimatum on the table, and an ultimatum is never the way to go. But it's crazy how we always kind of stoop to that level. I don't flock to Michelle Rodriguez, but a lot of the movies that she is in, I really, really like. Whether it's because of her or not, I don't know. But her resume has a lot of films on it that I thoroughly enjoy.
Like
and
what?
I'm a sucker for Fast and Furious. And
I know.
And I love the first Resident Evil movie. So.
Oh yeah, she was in that, wasn't she?
Yeah.
Okay.
I like Lost.
It's like
she was in that.
I know her face, but I've only watched the first two Fast and Furious, and then I was hard out on that series. I couldn't do it anymore. But like, I know I've seen her places, but I can't for the life of me think of where that is.
Mm-hmm. I mean, I like Avatar for what it is. I'm not like in love and gaga over Avatar, but. I enjoy the movie. She's a voice of a Marine in Halo. So, I mean, she's just there. She's just the ever-present female badass that's just always in that role, you know? It's crazy. If you need a tough broad, who are you going to call? Michelle Rodriguez. It's just kind of the way it goes.
She does do that tough woman sneer really well.
Yeah, and you believe it, too. You're like, all right, well, I get it. Oh, and Machete. I mean, it's a ridiculous movie, but it's fun to watch. She's in that. Battle of Los Angeles. I love that movie, too, with Aaron Eckhart, where the aliens attack. I thought that movie was so fun. It got hammered in the reviews, but it's fun to watch. She just happens to be in that, too. I dare say I'm a Michelle Rodriguez fan. I have to be if she's in all these movies that I like. What else? Let's see here. Harry Potter, celebrating 20 years since the first book. Randy, I know you're a big fan of Harry Potter, as am I. Jeff, not so much. He likes wizards and swords and magic, like David Copperfield, but...
I do like wizards. I do like swords. I do like magic, but I do not like the Harry Potter.
It's so crazy.
Sorry, gentlemen. Sorry.
That makes me sad.
Well, those books make me sad, so we're even.
Well, yeah. So the books aren't terribly amazing. They're a fun read, and you can do them pretty quick. But as you're reading it, you can shake your head quite a bit. I get it, but I mean, again, they're for kids, so it's not the end of the world if you hate them, but. Either way, I think the movies are magic, and it's a lot of fun, and I soaked that shit up from, what, 2001 to 2011, 2012, whenever the last movie ended, so I'm a fan, I'm a Harry Potter fan, I'm not going to lie, and I thought of a fun little game.
All right.
And I am worried that you're not going to do terribly well, Jeff.
Listen, you don't worry about how well I'm going to do. I'm going to worry about how well I'm going to do, sir.
Okay. So a couple in honor of the 20th anniversary, a lot of websites threw out some fun lists of their favorite wizards. And I put together.
Gandalf. That's right. The answer, right?
He's a good wizard. Okay. Not the right wizard, but a good wizard.
Okay.
In fact, probably the best wizard. I'll give you that. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. He's a grumpy son of a bitch, but I'll take it. So anyway, I thought I would drop a few hints as to who these wizards might be, and then you just shout out the name. All right? So good luck.
I'm terrible with names, so believe me, you've got a chance at this.
All right. So wait, hold on. What are we doing again?
I'm going to describe the wizard. And okay. You're going to, whether it be something that they did or a characteristic about them, and then you'll try and tell me who the wizard is. I know it sounds hard. Like the easy one I gave before the show started, the boy who lived was obviously Harry Potter.
Harry Potter.
Yes.
Boom. I'm ahead, Randy. I'm ahead.
You got one.
Yes. So we'll give you a handicap. You'll get that one. How about that? So you're actually leading now, 1-0.
Goddamn right I am.
Are any of these wizards, were they only in the book, or all of these ones are in the movies as well?
Every single one of these wizards has been in a movie.
That's good. Okay, that's helpful.
Okay. Yeah. So, are you ready? Hands on your buzzers.
Okay.
And if I can even make it easier for you to where I'll say this male wizard or this female wizard, this witch or wizard. How about that?
There you go. Yeah.
Okay.
It's sexist, but I'm in.
It's to help you out, to make your job a little bit easier. Yeah, all right.
Appreciate that.
So this witch can change her looks, but one of the common hair colors that she goes to is pink.
Tonks?
Yes. Very good. Randy, Tonks it is.
I'm going to get fucked.
No, you're good. All right. Okay. This house elf... tried to get Harry punished to the point where he couldn't be allowed to return to Hogwarts.
Dobby.
Very good.
Son of a bitch. That's not a wizard.
He can do magic.
He can use magic.
That's a goddamn elf. This is bullshit. I feel this game is rigged against me. It's fine. All right. Keep going. Keep going, Justin.
This witch is a pro at divination, and she always sees the grim.
Is it the one with the big glasses?
Yes. Randy, Trelawney? The one with the... Randy gets it with the big glasses.
Was it Trelawney? Was that her name?
Yeah, it was. But okay. I would have given it to you with the big glasses.
I still have 1 point.
All right. This little ginger is in love with Harry Potter.
Ginny Weasley.
Yeah. That's funny.
I think he deserves a point.
Yeah, you both get a point for that one. All right, so Randy's at 4, Jeff's at 2. The instructor for Defense Against the Dark Arts was really a fraud. In fact, he basically got success by charm spells and embellishing on stories.
Oh.
Can everybody see me?
I'm trying to think of his name. Oh, God. Kenneth Branagh, but...
I'll take it. Gilderoy Lockhart is his name.
Lockhart. Okay, cool.
But I'll take Kenneth Branagh. All right, here we go. This professor, who is also a wizard... I forgot I'm doing the wizard thing. This wizard was a potion master, and he had sort of an after-hours club for all the promising young witches and wizards. Called the Slug Club.
Oh, Slughorn.
Very good. Randy has 6. Jeff is sitting at a whopping 2. Okay, this mother is always shouting at all of her kids. She is the worst. She sends howlers. She's poor.
It's
that's like 6 it's, kids.
It's the Weasley mother. I can't remember
Weasley
her
name. Mother. Yeah, with
yeah.
Yeah.
Mrs. Ron's mom.
Yeah, I'll take it. Mrs. Weasley, Ron's mom, Molly Weasley. Correct.
Boom. There
I remember
you go.
That one.
Yep. So Randy is still sitting at 6, and Jeff is now at 3. Good job. Alrighty, this wizard is an auror and has a sort of a wicked twitch to his eye that spins
Mad
all about.
Mad-Eye Moody?
Very good. Mad-Eye Moody. Randy has 7. Jeff closing in at 3.
It's okay, there's always the golden snitch.
Yes. This witch is a professor, and she can also turn into a cat, even though you don't see it too often.
McGonagall?
Very good. Randy has 8.
She can turn into a cat? God damn it.
Yeah, and like the first movie. That's pretty much the only time you see it. Then it costs too much. They're like, just write this off. This mean witch made Harry write on his hand, "I will never tell lies."
Oh, wait.
She has like a lot of cats and cat plates.
And she wears a lot of pink.
Yeah. And she goes, bit of a bitch, this one.
Oh, God. Umbridge, right?
Yes. Jeff now has
good
4.
On you. I couldn't think of the name.
Yes. Dolores Umbridge. Alrighty. Ooh, this guy is a bit of a dick. In fact, he put Tom Riddle's journal into Ginny Weasley's books.
Oh, Malfoy's dad.
Yes, Lucius.
Ooh, good pull.
I'm closing in on you, Randy. Yeah. Closing in, you son of a bitch.
All right.
And I hate myself for knowing any of these. Keep going.
This wizard is a werewolf and just happens to be in The Big Lebowski.
Lupin.
Very good.
Son of a bitch. Callback. Damn it.
Randy with 9. Jeff with 5. Alrighty. This big fucker is the keeper of keys and grounds at Hogwarts.
Hagrid.
Yeah. Alrighty. This young lady... is a bit of a weirdo, and her father publishes The Quibbler.
What? Luna Lovegood, or yes. Something like that.
Luna yeah. Lovegood.
It's a Quibbler.
It's a sweet tabloid magazine.
God damn it.
You didn't know that?
Shut your face hole.
Yeah, that.
Keep going.
Jeez. Alrighty. These two twins are always joking about.
Oh, God, I don't know. I don't remember their names.
George and the other Weasley.
Rhymes with Ted.
Dead?
Ed.
Fred and George.
Oh, Fred and George, yes. Thank you.
All right.
So is that half a point? Because I only got one of them.
Yeah, we'll just give it to Jeff since you guessed.
Oh right. No! Okay. I don't want your pity points.
It's a pity point. I'm
refusing nope. Your pity points. Give it to Randy.
Nope. You get it. Then you also have an asterisk next to your name if you win.
Oh man.
Alrighty, this mean witch killed her own cousin.
Bellatrix Lestrange.
Yeah.
She's the only other mean witch I could think of.
Randy has 12. Jeff has 6. Alrighty, this pasty little boy is quickly found a home in Slytherin. He's a bit of a fucker, too. Harry's main rival. Draco, yeah. Draco Malfoy. I like it when he says, "Good one, Goyle." That's like my favorite line of his. This guy is one of the only wizards to ever escape Azkaban.
Oh, son of a bitch.
The name, Black. Very good.
I love how you know these, Randy, and just given me a minute to try and come up with them.
On a couple of them,
I hear it in you're just.
You're both doing very well.
Your silence is condescending.
I'm trying to give you a fighting chance, man.
I will punch you in the dick.
Ooh, and I'll film it, and then I'll watch it on loop over and over.
And then I'll go into the bathroom, and I'll shoot myself. I'll video myself peeing and show you guys all. Right. It's a Comic-Con tradition every year.
I'm glad this has turned. Yeah. Thanks.
Dude, right. I always have a jellyfish on me just so Randy can pee on me at a moment's notice.
Yeah. I mean, not for no reason. That's why he has a jellyfish.
Yeah.
It's a legitimate reason.
Just at a moment's notice. Like, yeah. Oh no, Randy, it happened again. I got stung by a jellyfish.
Well, lucky for you, I've been drinking.
I don't know which is better. Talking about you peeing on Justin's jellyfish wound or talking about Harry Potter. They both kind of even out on the scale for me.
Oh. We're almost done. And you're closing down the gap. Are you ready?
Yes.
He who must not be named.
Voldemort.
All right. You are killing it, man. Crushing
it, Randy.
All right, so this young wizard was first perceived to be a piece of shit. He didn't do too well in school. He always forgot things. But it turned out he just needed to blossom into manhood and be the wizard that he was born to be.
That Neville Longbottom?
Yeah, very good.
Oh, that's a good one.
There's something about the underdog that just inspires the unexceptional. So great.
It.
Robert California. Love it, love it, love it. All right. So this particular wizard is the only one that Voldemort ever feared.
Dumbledore?
Very good.
Isn't that Harry Potter?
No, he was never afraid of Harry.
Really?
Yeah. He's a little boy. He doesn't give a shit. He rapes little boys.
Whoa, yeesh. Hey. Whoa, wait.
When do we go back to Pirates of the Caribbean here?
Albus is the only wizard he ever feared. So, who guessed that anyway? Was that Randy?
Yeah. Do we have a Golden Snitch question?
Maybe.
That's a no.
I mean,
it's like, let me make one up real quick.
I mean, Harry was going to be the Golden Snitch, but it's okay. Here we go. This particular wizard, we didn't know if he was a good guy or a bad guy.
Snape.
Yes. I love the sigh. I want to bottle it and just kind of release it every now and again. Make that happen. Science.
I'll see what I can do, man. I'll see what I can do.
It's like burping Tupperware.
I
want it to be that effect. It can be my Christmas present. Or my half birthday is December 30th. I accept gifts on my half birthday.
No, we are not celebrating half birthdays.
Man, you're the worst. You know that?
I know Harry Potter's the worst.
You just suck the fun out of everything.
I do. It's my superpower.
You are a ruiner of things.
That's how people describe me. I am. I'm a horrible human being.
Okay, we're getting there. Down to the nitty gritty. We got 2 left.
There's more of these?
Just two.
I thought Snape was the...
Yeah, I thought we golden snitched it already.
No!
Now we're going back to the regular one.
No, I had two left. I had 2 left.
All right, keep going.
This is based off the top 25 wizards.
Oh, Jesus.
And I have 2 left.
Do what you gotta do, man.
All right. Oh! I don't even have anything.
I I could be another, sleeping right now.
Here we go. Another redheaded wizard that loves Harry.
How many redheads are there?
Dude, they're multiplying. It's his best friend and confidant.
Ron Weasley.
Okay. Very good. Jesus Christ.
Well, that was already an answer.
No, it wasn't. Ginny. Ginny was the answer that I was looking for, but I gave it to Jeff for funsies.
Gotcha.
So Jeff's now at 10. Here we go. Golden Snitch. Randy's at 15. Jeff is at 10. This one's worth 150 points.
I can't
write it. This wizard, or this witch, rather, is the brightest one of her age.
Hermione.
Very good. Randy wins with 165 points. You just crushed Jeff into oblivion. 165 to 10. And just think, Jeff, if you would have won, we could have said that you know everything there is to know about Harry Potter.
I'm glad I lost.
You would have been a real savant. A Harry Potter savant.
Pretty happy with the outcome, then.
165 to 10?
Yeah, because you got 150 points for that.
Yeah, those are like cricket scores.
Yeah. I saw some Indians playing cricket. Not Native Americans. Indians.
I expected the story to devolve into Native Americans playing with a pet cricket insect. I'm like, where is this going?
Big Indian community here in Redmond.
Oh, good.
Microsoft money. You know, that old chestnut. All right. I think that's...
On that note...
Another great episode.
Holy Christ.
Hey, you had fun, admit it. You were biting your nails at the end there. You thought you were going to win that shit.
That is an accurate representation of what happened.
You were rubbing your little dice pouch hoping for
I was rubbing something. Victory. I was rubbing something.
Oh, I like the sound of that. We need to get back on webcams.
Nope.
This is the Geek Legacy After Dark is returning.
That was a failed experiment once.
Was it a failed experiment? I kind of liked it personally.
Did it air?
I never aired it.
What? You aired one?
Not an After Dark one, no.
I thought you did a couple months ago.
No.
We were just talking about it.
Yeah. Okay. No, this was it was bad, man.
This was years ago.
We were talking. So bad.
It was just off the rails and really off brand.
Oh, it was like bad. Sick. Prostitutes and
I love everything that you're saying.
And feces sounds on good. Glass tables.
Nice. All right.
I mean, take us at our worst, which, you know, whatever your opinion of us may be, it can get a lot worse than what you hear at the show. Take us at our worst, multiply that by 10, and then that's what you got for an entire hour-long episode.
Oh, it was incredible. Change your life.
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, man, it was amazing. I had to take a shower afterwards. It was that kind of dirty. Jeff, thank you for joining us.
Well, thank you for having me.
Always a
moralizing
pleasure.
Me with Harry Potter knowledge and making me think about you touching yourself. And it's always a good time.
Right?
Always. And I always forget. Like, that's the thing. You guys text me. You're like, hey, Dave's out of town. You want to fill in? And I always feel I'm like, yeah, that's going to be fun. I always forget. I always forget what a shit show this podcast is when I'm on it.
Oh, it's the best. And we're not even like this normally. You literally bring this out of us. That's just amazing.
Did you hear that? That's what's called deflection of blame.
Yeah, I heard it.
No, it's true.
Fault. Blame the victim.
It's
victim
true.
Blaming.
It's true. I mean, I'm okay with it. I mean, I understand. I'm a man. And I can deal with the consequences. I'm just saying that it's something about you, your pheromones that you're spraying all over the place.
My internet pheromones.
Just bring out the worst in me. It's amazing.
I can't Can't wait for San Diego.
I can't either. I am going to just hump you, and it's going to be amazing.
You heard it here, Internet. I'm getting humped in San Diego.
Yes. Oh.
And he's going to make your wife watch. It's going to be this weird cuckolding thing.
She's going to have a sign. She'll cheer it on.
She'll be applauding while drinking a beer on the sideline. I know how that's going to go.
She does that. she just drinks me under the table, and then I just – something happens. Oh, Jeff, I heart you. How's the movie-making business going?
Having a good time, man. I'm having a good time. Yeah. Anything to take the taste of corporate life out of my mouth.
Now you have the taste of casting director in your mouth.
God damn. Oh, God.
Somehow I saw it going that direction.
Yeah, I should have known. I
feel
should've...
complicit because I didn't stop it.
No, why didn't you step in, man? You could have.
If you see something, say something.
Say something. Yeah. That's what they say. But then all of a sudden you see it happening in front of you and you're dumbfounded.
Yep. It's like magic. Like David Copperfield.
And we've come full circle, folks. Thanks for listening to the Geek Legacy Podcast. It's been a good time.
It has. A great time. I've burned so many calories sitting here laughing at you. You're amazing.
Not with me, at me. Really?
Yes.
You dick.
I know. Big one at that. Ricardo Grande.
Wow.
Anywho, thank you for listening to another fun and festive episode of the Geek Legacy Podcast. Jeff, thank you for filling in for Mr. Edmondson. Big shoes to fill. He's like size 18. Randy, I hope you have a fun and festive week.
Aw, thanks.
Yeah. Everyone else, remember to visit geeklegacy.com. While you're there, check out the Pixelated Podcast, where Stephen K. James and I talk about what's happening in the world of video games. And I'm actually on my best behavior when I'm on that show. Yeah, believe it or not. Remember to like us on Facebook, follow us on Twitter, @GeekLegacy, and @PixelatedPod. Thank you so much.